That sun is shining and just a few puffy white clouds in the sky. We have a really packed hour for you. We've got three candidates for Senate on the line. And so this is going to be a very interesting show as you watch me try to juggle here. So we're going to bring them in one at a time to make this at least a little bit easier. Let's start with candidate Tony Sanchez. Tony is a candidate for Senate District 22, which is over on the west side of the metro area. Tony, welcome to Grassroots Radio.
It's a pleasure to be here tonight.
We're so glad that you're here. Why don't you, before we move on to the other candidates, why don't you give us just a real quick background on your candidacy and why you are running?
Well, we're over by the area of Ken Carroll, Littleton, Lakewood, and Edgewater. It's a key race in the state legislature running the Democrats, Andy Kerr. I'm running because I want the government out of your life, and I'm sick and tired of people being ostracized and criticized for who we are and what we believe, and I think that we need bold leadership, bold constitutionally conservative leadership. And our campaign has been doing quite well. I mean, people are saying, how are we doing it as a conservative candidate? How are we bringing coalitions together? Libertarian, Tea Party, you name it. And I say, well, because we're very clear about where we stand. We also know what we're dealing with. Progressive liberalism. And number three, it's not been about me. It's been about we the people.
I like that. I like that. Thank you, Tony. So let's next bring in Senator Tim Neville, who is a candidate for Senate District 16. Senator Neville, welcome back to Grassroots Radio. How are you?
Good, Chris. How are you?
I'm good. I'm going to ask you the same question. Can you give us a little bit of background on your campaign and why you're running?
You bet. My background, I was not involved in politics except to help other people out and do the basic things that many people do, involved a little bit with the Republican Party in Jefferson County. And in 2011, I took a vacancy appointment in Senate District 22, where Tony's running now, for when Senator Mike Kopp resigned that position originally after the death of his first wife, Kim. And then I served in 2012, but of course, you know that year, the end of 2011, we had redistricting. So the district was changed. The district is kind of funny. Tony's on the west side of town. I'm actually to the east of Tony and also to the west of Tony, the way our district runs.
Okay.
And so I served in 2012, and it became very clear, you know, what politics was and what it wasn't, and understanding the role of government and what I saw happening down at the legislature. I had to make a decision and decide, even though I had to sit out for 2 years since I was merged into Senate District 16 with then-sitting Senator Jeanne Nicholson, the Democrat Jeanne Nicholson, whether I was going to sit and you know, basically call it a day, or whether I was going to come back in 2014 and challenge Senator Nicholson. That's what I've decided to do.
Okay. Well, good. I'm glad that you are challenging her. All right. Our third candidate is, I feel like I'm on the dating game or something. Our third candidate is Laura Woods. She is a candidate for Senate District 19. Laura, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Chris. I'm pleased to be here with you.
We're glad that you're here. So, same question. Why don't you give us some background and why you're running?
My campaign was really launched with the recall of Evie Hudak. I had no intentions of running for office when we started that recall, but I was pretty sure we didn't need a senator in our district who refused to listen to her constituents and then tried to take away our guns and was rude to other people and passed a fourth grade sex education bill and, you know, just some of her bad acts. And so I got involved in the recalls last fall, and then decided after we finished the recall that our citizens in our district really do deserve a state senator who's willing to listen to them and will represent them in the state legislature. As a native of Colorado, I'm passionate about returning this state to being the kind of state that I grew up in, and I've got grandkids growing up here, so that's why I got involved in this race.
Okay, great. All right. Next question. What are you guys finding is the mood of the people that you're meeting on the campaign trail? Tony, what are you seeing out there? What are people talking about the most? What concerns are they raising to you?
Boy, oh boy, are they tired of politics as usual. They are really tired. They are disillusioned. And more than anything, I feel that people feel that they've been disrespected. They are tired of people who are blaming and complaining. They want leadership. They want people who can bring out the best in other people. That's what they want. They want someone who is genuine. They have had enough. And this is why we've been doing well. It's just like with me, it's been what you see is what you get. And we need to respond to people and meet them where they're at. This is just something I've been hearing, that sense of frustration. And you've been hearing it not just among Republicans. You're hearing it among independents and Democrats. I mean, in my race, you got the Tabor issue, the Taxpayer Bill of Rights, and with Andy Kerr with the lawsuit wanting to get rid of it. Well, people are saying, we don't have the money. We can't afford it. This is with the Obamacare and everything else. There's that real sense of we're reaching a limit there.
Okay. Senator Neville, what are you finding out on the campaign trail?
Well, I think one of the biggest concerns is that people see their ability to live their lives according to the way they want to, their basic ability, you know, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, private property rights. They realize those are under attack. One of the most important things is they see basically the paycheck that they bring home. First of all, if they can bring a paycheck home, that's been under attack. Government policies that have been set over the last number of years basically have been detrimental to that, even to getting a job and to job creation. But then they also see, you know, just basically that's being eaten away at from a number of areas, whether it's direct taxation or the cost of regulation or things like the cost of their health insurance under the Obamacare plan. They're seeing that they have less spending income to spend, and they really see the dreams, the hopes and dreams for the future for them and for their children being diminished, and they're frustrated and upset about it and looking for change.
Okay, looking for some help in the economy and help with making sure that we have jobs and a strong place to work here. Laura, what are you finding out there?
I am seeing similar things to Tim and Tony. I'm seeing some desperation in people, some fear, a lot of frustration. Common Core is one of the issues that people are really, really passionate and concerned about. And then it's a good mix with some hope. They look at this slate of Liberty candidates that are running in Jefferson County, and they are hopeful that the Liberty wave that we started last summer with the recalls and then voting down Amendment 66 and then voting in a conservative school board in Jefferson County, that wave is going to roll into these elections in for Tony and I here in June in the primary, but also then in November. So there's a mix of fear, frustration, desperation, and some real hope for, and it's not President Obama's kind of hope. It's real hope that some common sense leadership is coming back to our state. So it's a little bit of a mix of the two.
Okay. It's just sort of weighing both sides of that. That just... It seems to me, and Tony, going back to your theme of frustration, you know, that's what I feel most of the time, it seems like, and a lot of the people that I speak to have that same kind of a problem and do want some leadership. But I'm with you, Laura. I'm with your constituents as well. I do see a lot of hope coming through for this 2014 election. So hopefully, using that word, hopefully we can defeat the primary challenges and we can move forward. When we come back from our break.
You're listening to Grassroots Radio Colorado on the Colorado Conservative, KLZ 560, The Source.
Welcome back to Grassroots Radio. This is Chris Cook, and I am talking to three candidates for the Senate, three good rock star Liberty candidates, I believe, and we're talking to Tony Sanchez, Tim Neville, and Laura Woods. So the next question I want to ask you three, and we'll go one at a time, is what do you think is the single biggest challenge facing Colorado right now? Tony?
Well, I think the biggest challenges facing us are the attacks on our liberty and the understanding of the proper role of government, whether we're talking religious liberty, whether we're talking education and Common Core, whether we're talking about private property rights and privacy rights. There's a sense that government is out of control. I mean, I often say, you know, when you look at a painting, you don't want to notice the brush strokes. When you read a book, you don't want to look at the words or the pages of the book. That's how government should be in our lives. And I think that people feel like they wake up every day and they walk from their home to the car and they feel like they've broken about 5 laws on the way there.
They probably have. That's part of the problem.
Yes.
Tim, what do you believe is the biggest challenge that we're facing right now?
Well, I couldn't quite hear everything that Tony was saying, but I think I might have heard the proper role of government. I mean, that is the biggest thing. We have to get back to what government can do, what government should be doing, and that's basically, you know, defined pretty clearly. We have a constitution. Constitutional role of limited government is to protect life, liberty, and property, and everything else is up to us. And basically, right now we have a situation where government has regulated us to death. We have people that have created a power base for their own personal gain, or also for party gain, or whatever it might be, for individual specific interest groups that basically takes away the opportunities for people in Colorado. And we need to get back to that, and we need to have that. Of course, the second part of that is we need to have the leadership that comes forward that's ready to do that, that's ready to not bend and break, not to be that reed in the wind, you know, flowing from side to side, but to stand up and say there's something that is a lot bigger than me individually, and basically take that leadership and run with it.
Being willing to stand on principle?
Principle, and also, you know, we have the information. We have a constitution. We have what our founders gave us. We have what everybody came before us gave us. What those people at D-Day that fought for, and everybody that has fought, you know, to protect our country and to protect our rights. So it's there already. We just need to follow it. We need to step up, and it's time.
Okay. Laura, what do you believe is the single biggest challenge facing Colorado right now?
Well, I couldn't agree more with these guys on reining in a runaway legislature and reining in this out-of-control government, but I think right next to that is the economy. We have a lot of businesses closing because of the economy. We have businesses suffering, families, individuals suffering because of the economy. So we need to jumpstart our economy, create jobs. A big part of this is the energy mandate and the energy oil and gas business, you know, the fracking, and all of that would play into this. But to me, I think that is one of our most serious challenges, because people, we talked about it earlier, you know, their paycheck is shrinking. They don't have as much to take home at the end of the day, if they have a job at all, and lots of college graduates are not working in their field because of the economy.
Okay, so the economy is the issue that you would absolutely focus on should you be elected.
Well, voter fraud bills are a big concern for me, and, you know, as Republicans, I think that's going to be one of my first targets when I get in there, is to undo these two voter fraud bills, 1303 and 1164, because if we don't do the voter fraud bills, I'm afraid we won't win another election, because Democrats have this rigged so that they can, you know, wreak havoc in our election system. So it's going to be a mix between voter fraud and economy for me.
Okay. Tony, which issue would be top priority for you should you be elected?
I think it's in between our Second Amendment issue and the education. I mean, the Second Amendment, we got to repeal those bills, those crazy bills we just saw. And then we also, I want to be in a position where this doesn't happen again, you know, and I'm just sort of, I think, really, this is incredible that we have to pass laws in order to make sure our Constitution is protected. And the other thing that's really important to me is the education issue. I mean, I'm talking to a lot of teachers. They feel over micromanaged. They feel it's just a situation, and Common Core has just exacerbated the whole situation. And when we had an opportunity to actually address the issue, Andy Kerr said no to the Mothers Against Common Core to just delay it for 1 year. He was chair of the Education Committee there. So when you have that kind of out of touch situation, it just exacerbates the whole situation. It's almost as if they depend more on the opinions of experts as opposed to looking out for what this is all about, you know. And so this is what I would focus on. And definitely, you were mentioning the energy issue. That's a key issue. And, you know, sometimes people talk and act as if they're living in New York City, but no, we're in Colorado.
That's a good point. Tim, what would be your single biggest issue? Where's your priority going to go?
Actually, I like to tell people that we can walk and chew gum at the same time. We are capable of doing that. We're thinking as beings, and we can do that. So when people say, what is the single most biggest priority? Well, basically, the biggest priority is making sure that we recapture our ability to individually make decisions that influence our lives versus government. So when you take a look at that, what does that encompass? Of course it encompasses the Second Amendment, as Tony said. Of course it encompasses education reform and educational choice, allowing parents to make decisions. Basically taking a look and making sure that the money should follow the students as opposed to going to the brick and mortar and empowering the parents to decide what the best form of education is for their children. And then, of course, regulatory reform. We have so much regulation in Colorado. People don't understand sometimes that the cost of regulation to the average Colorado businesses is about the same amount that it costs to run the whole state of Colorado. When the Small Business Administration reported on the cost of regulation, we broke out what Colorado's share with that. It was about $20 billion a year. Well, the whole budget for the state of Colorado in 2014 is set at $23 billion a year for 2014-2015. So it's a huge hidden tax and something that just basically steals the opportunities for business people and entrepreneurs to encourage growth and to encourage employment. And employment leads to personal dignity. Somebody has to have a job. They have dignity. They have the power to make decisions in their own lives.
What a concept. Actually working for your own benefit actually helps you be a happier person.
To ponder, who are we? For God and Country, this is The Source, KLZ AM 560, KLZ HD Denver, and live streaming at 560thesource.com.
Welcome to Grassroots Radio. This is Chris Cook, and our Friday edition this week is a candidate roundtable, sort of, although everybody's on their phone, so there's no table, and it's not really round, but we're kind of just go with the image. Anyway, so we are talking to Laura Woods, who is a candidate for Senate District 19. She is fighting in a primary, actually, and should she succeed, she's going to challenge Rachel Zenzinger's seat. Now, Rachel Zenzinger is the one who took over for Evie Hudak. Isn't that right, Laura?
That's correct, Chris.
So you helped bring some pressure to get Ms. Hudak to step down, and then they appointed Rachel Zenzinger, who has been Evie Hudak 2.0. Is that pretty much correct?
Yeah, she's a mini-me for Evie Hudak.
I like that, mini-me. All right, Laura, so if you succeed in defeating Ms. Zenzinger, and we pick up a seat, we pick up the majority in the Senate, and I hope all three of you actually do win this. Of course I hope that, but even if we just pick up one, we'll have a majority in the Senate. How do you propose to use that majority? Are we going to shut them out the way that they shut us out, or will there be more bipartisanship / compromise / however you want to pronounce that?
Well, I was struck the very first time I went to the Capitol early in my campaign and met with some of the freedom fighters already in office. And there are some really solid, liberty-minded candidates or people in office in the Senate already. And it occurred to me then that I am not the Lone Ranger here. I'll be going in as one more to the group, one more to give us one more vote on these important issues. And there are perhaps some issues we can reach across the aisle, but we will never compromise on principle. And so I think it's going to be a balancing act. I would have loved for you to ask Tim Neville this question first. He's been there and done this. He's probably got a better answer than I do. I'm going to follow the lead of those in the Senate who've been there. And, you know, really it's going to be a learning curve for me once I get there.
Okay. Okay. Well, Tim, why don't we turn to you and I ask you the same question. How will we use this majority, to punish them or to work with them?
Well, I agree with Laura. I don't think anybody wants to punish anyone. I mean, the bottom line is, I think if we are true constitutional conservatives, which I know the three on this show are, our focus is basically empowering individuals. It's not empowering government. So using government as some of our opponents have, as the progressives have over the last few years, to punish people and also to punish conservatives, is ridiculous, and it's going to be anathema to us. That's not what we're trying to focus. Now, as far as reaching across the aisle, there are opportunities. There were opportunities this year. We saw a difference with a slim majority that the Democrats had. There was some bipartisanship. Let me give you two examples of bipartisanship. The first one, we had a red light camera bill that everybody basically was in favor of getting rid of red light cameras and speed cameras. The Speaker of the House, Mark Ferrandino, and the Senate President, Morgan Carroll, endorsed that bill. Now, it was killed, and it was killed because of a very, very vocal governor and also the Democrat mayor of Denver, who said basically, hey, we need this money still coming in and flowing into government. Even though it may not be the best thing for the people, we need the money. That's the bottom line. So even though you had bipartisan support, there was enough pressure from special interest groups and including the Democrat Party and the Denver, we'll call it the group from Denver, which is pretty much Democrat, that killed that bill. Another opportunity that we had for bipartisan support that really bothered me, that was much closer to home in my race, was the bill to audit the Colorado State Healthcare Exchange. Again, bipartisan support, easily passed the House, again with the Speaker's support and a majority of both parties. And then it went to the Senate, and unfortunately it was signed to a committee with my opponent, Senator Jeannie Nicholson. And even though it had much major support by the leadership in the Democrat Senate, or at least much of the leadership, it was killed on a 4-3 party line vote. So I think that you'll see a major change when you see, first of all, a Republican state Senate. And when I served in 2012, there was a big difference between, even though we only had a small single person majority in the House, the workings and the way the Senate worked was much different, because the Democrats understood that they had to make a convincing argument and at least attempt to have a dialogue before they just slammed something through, because they knew they had to deal with a Republican majority in the House. So I think you'll see much more work across the aisle, especially in the areas of civil liberties and possible new liberties. And I hope with some of the Democrats, a few of the Democrats, personal rights.
Okay, okay. Tony, how do you feel this majority will go? This is Tony Sanchez, who's a candidate for Senate District 22. How do you feel this will go when we get the majority?
Well, I think the sentiment I'm getting from out there and the way I'm looking at it is that we're going to need to clean up this mess. It looks like a big mess. It looks like we're going to have to look at a lot of laws that are probably unnecessary. necessary. I think we're going to need to sort of look at that whole thing and lead on this issue, because I think the last thing people want are more laws. I mean, and we're going to need bold leadership, and like Laura was saying, we got some people up in there, and in my house district race, we got Justin Everett. We got some people there that are leading, and we need to kind of support one another when it comes to this. I mean, you got some laws like you can't even rest at a rest stop. I mean, you can think of you got some people here that they can't even move their tool shed unless they pay a tax. I mean, there's a whole lot of things that we need to sort of look at when it comes to regulation, and so I think that might be a good place to start.
Okay, rolling back, that kind of thing. I like that idea. Boy, do I like that idea. I went on a rant about regulation, and it's just amazing to me how much of a break that is to the economy. Yeah. That, you know, federally, we spend $1.9 trillion per year on regulation. Trillion, with a T.
And it's like micromanaging. I mean, yeah. I've been a manager for 10 years, and you know what? If you start blaming and complaining and micromanaging, I mean, there's a higher cost to it. And so I often use that comparison when we're talking about a limited government.
Right. Okay, let's kind of switch gears here a little bit. And Laura, I'm going to get to you before the break, and then Tim and Tony will get to you after. Laura Woods, Senate District 19, what committees do you want to sit on when you're elected?
Well, that's an interesting question, and I have given that a little bit of thought. I'm interested in agriculture, of course. I grew up on a ranch in Steamboat Springs, and so I'm interested in agriculture. I'm also very interested in business, because I think Colorado ranking 47th out of 50 on the business-friendly scale is something that we should really be concerned about. And
okay.
So those are two that I've thought about. Education wouldn't be bad either. I'm not sure that I'm experienced about that, but I am passionate in that area. So just a couple I've talked over with some of my campaign people.
Okay. I didn't mean to blindside you. I'm sorry.
No, okay.
We've got a little bit of time. Tony, why don't you tell me what committees you'd like to sit on?
Wow, you know, I've kind of vaguely thought about it here and there, but I've thought about, you know, energy. That is interesting for me, transportation and energy. I thought about agriculture, you know. That interests me as well, because I kind of think that we've gotten away from the roots of Colorado, and I think that would be something. I'd like to be able to build a bridge between the, you know, what we've got here in the city versus the rural areas, and I think that's kind of important. Just a few of those I've been thinking about. Maybe business, labor, we'll see. But I haven't, you know, those are the ones I've been kind of toying around with.
Okay. And Tim, you obviously sat on some committees when you served before. What were you on before?
I had the distinction of serving on state veteran and military, which is basically, you know, known as the kill committee.
The kill committee, right.
So, you know, I think everybody has to do their time. They understood I was only going to be in there for a year. And you do have an opportunity to either vote yes or no on a lot of bills. But it's interesting duty. I'll leave it at that. How's that for
that's
a little bit of PC talk?
Fair
enough. And then I served on local government. Local government's very interesting too. You know, are those the areas that I feel that I have the broadest expertise? I don't know. My background, you know, lends itself, I think, to a lot of things because of, you know, my work in private business and as you know, being working for large companies and also being a small businessman. So of course, business is something that is near and dear to me. And again, it hooks into making sure that we have that job growth that provides people with the opportunities and dignity. So that's extremely important to me.
Okay.
And also, you know, there are a number of other areas. Education, of course, is extremely important. And I believe that we need to really break some molds there and look at some different solutions. And again, empower students, not just students, but parents first, and really decide what we're going to do. And let's do it well before we keep expanding programs programs that we don't have the means to pay for right now doesn't make a lot of sense. But, you know, again, at that point, you know, when you start talking about what committees you want to be on, we have to balance that out with all of the strengths of the other people in this
care. But too often, instead, the system is simply about itself. Meanwhile, a low-income single mother with breast disease is left as collateral damage. It angers me.
Stay informed by listening to Dr. Jill Vecchio's next segment on Obamacare.
Join Dr. Jill Vecchio along with co-hosts Molly Vogt and Kim Monson for Heart of the Matter, Sundays from 4 to 6 p.m. here on KLZ 560, The Source.
You're listening to Grassroots Radio Colorado on the Colorado Conservative, KLZ 560, The Source.
And welcome back to the final segment of Grassroots Radio. This is Chris Cook, and it's Friday, and it's beautiful. And we have three candidates on the line who are going to be using this beautiful day to walk precincts and get out and meet people and do everything that they can to become your next senators. We have Tony Sanchez, who is a candidate for Senate District 22. Tony, first, why don't you tell us how people can get in touch with you if they have enjoyed listening to you tonight, how they can help you get elected?
Well, they can go to tonyforcolorado.com. That's TonyForColorado.com. We're also making calls. We're also walking the district every day, so they can also contact me through the website. And they can also like my Facebook page. It's Tony for Colorado State Senate.
Okay. Okay, good. Now, you are in a primary.
Yes.
You are. And so primary ballots dropped on Monday, and people should have them. Probably a lot of people are going to be voting this weekend. Could you differentiate yourself from your primary opponent for us? What is the one quality that makes you better suited for this than your opponent?
I'm the only one has been endorsed by Rocky Mountain gun owners. I'm the only one who's taken a stand against Common Core. The only one with management experience over 10 years with a small business as well as nonprofit. But most of all, I'm the only one that is very clear about where I stand on all the issues. And I think it's very important that when we take on somebody like Andy Kerr, that we have a clear constitutional conservative to take him on. We need to keep them on the defense, and we need to be on the offense. And that's what I've been doing the whole time in this campaign.
Is being on the offense?
That's right.
Awesome. Okay. Wonderful. So, Laura, you are also in a primary. You are Laura Woods. You're a candidate for Senate District 19. Why don't you tell, first of all, tell people how they can help you. How can they reach you?
They can reach me through my website. It's laurawoodsforsenate.org. So 4 is spelled out, laurawoodsforsenate.org. Through the website, they can donate to my campaign. They can volunteer. And we also are walking doors every day. We're doing phone bank calling a couple nights a week. We're out raising money, and we've got mailers going out so they could, you know, help us fold letters. There's a lot of ways they can get involved if they would like to.
Okay, great. Now, you are in a primary.
I am.
Why don't you tell us what differentiates you from your primary opponent?
There are two things I will point to right away. And the first is that my primary opponent, Sias, has not signed the Colorado Union of Taxpayers pledge. This is a pledge that lines up very nicely with Republican principles and values. And so for him not to sign it says he tells the district by not signing it he's going to stand with the side of government when it comes to taxes. I'm the only candidate in this race in my district who has signed the cut pledge. The other thing that's different between my primary opponent and I is because of my work on the recall, I have a very good relationship with unaffiliated, independent, libertarian voters in our district. And we have been working really hard to unite the conservatives in District 19 so that they'll come into the Republican Party, vote for me in the primary, and then they are understanding, you know, some of them are going to go back to being unaffiliated. I get that. But they are seeing that the way to make change is to unite, and they're uniting with us to help us win not only in June, but to help us win in November as well. And the libertarians are, they're telling me they like my message. And, you know, it's not that the libertarians as an organization have said they won't run against me, but I've heard from individual libertarians that if I'm the candidate, they won't put somebody up against me in the general election in November.
Okay, because that's what happened in Senate District 19 back when Evie Hudak was elected, isn't it?
There was a libertarian in the race then who took a few thousand votes, and my primary opponent lost there by 600. So there's some varying opinions about what happened
sure.
in that election, but that was one of the facts of that election.
Certainly one of the complicating factors.
Sure.
So, okay, and Tim Neville, candidate for Senate District 16. Tim, how can people get in touch with you and help your campaign?
Well, sure. They can reach me at Tim at NevilleForColorado.com, and it's all spelled out, NevilleForColorado.com. They can also go to NevilleForColorado.com, the website, and they can sign up to volunteer, or they can also make a donation on the website, too. And, like I said, we're pretty reachable, and it has all my information and all my contact information there, too. So if they drop a line, we will get back to them immediately. And we need, our campaign, Chris, is going to be, it's grassroots campaign. We've had very, very good success. We're moving forward. We're raising the dollars that we're going to need. Of course, we're going to need more to get our message out. We're going against the Democrat Speaker of the Senate, or excuse me, the Democrat Caucus Chair. And, she's going to get a lot of, support from traditional special interest Democrat organizations. And we're prepared for that, and we're ready for the fight.
And that is a good thing. Gene Nicholson is kind of on my list because of that audit for the healthcare exchange. And that's something that was near and dear to my heart. I am an accountant, and I believe in transparency. It's probably my biggest issue is transparency and all these things. And for her to kill that is just...
Well, yeah, and I think most people agree that transparency in government is good. Where Jeannie and I disagree, of course, she made the comment that it's only been out there 3 years, but it's spent over $100 million of taxpayer money, and of course that money was coming from the federal government, but we still pay those federal taxes, and of course starting next year every dollar is going to be coming from Colorado taxpayers, and if it's growing out of control as it's been. And it's not really doing what it needs to be done. I just ask the average citizen when we talk, or business people, I say, if you started a new program, how long would it be before you checked on its effectiveness and actually would audit the books and the spending and see what it's doing? And usually the answer is either almost immediately, monthly, maximum 6 months, or even the first year when the budget comes up and it's time to budget more dollars for it. And none of that has been done.
Right. Okay, so we just have a couple minutes left. Tony, do you have any last words that you would like to say and to kind of wrap this up?
Well, I tell everybody I talk to and every door I knock, and I want to make sure they know we are not alone. We are the majority. It's time to take back our state Senate and our state.
I like that. I like that a lot. That's Tony Sanchez, who is a candidate for Senate District 22. Laura, do you have any last words?
I do, Chris. I am a Liberty candidate. I'm not a professional politician, but regardless of my strong-held beliefs, I pledge to the constituents here in my district that I will be accessible to them, from the most progressive constituent to the most far right, to just hear and listen and discuss and consider their views. And there has not been any of that with Hudak or Zinzinger in this district for a long time. So we will stand for Liberty, but we will listen for the constituents' input.
Okay, great. And that is Laura Woods, who is a candidate for Senate District 19. Tim Neville, any last words? Real quick.
Well, I agree with both Tony and Laura. The people have the power. It's just basically rediscovering it. And, of course, then it's making sure that we have the leaders down there at the state capitol, that make that possible and easier. Those people that are actually going to have the stewardship in mind of the people and their tax dollars. And we're not going to be closing people out. We're actually going to be empowering every single individual and not looking to pick winners and losers, but to make everybody give everybody that opportunity to take their God-given talents and achieve as much as they possibly can in their lives. That's the key.
Very good. Very good. Well, thank you all three